Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. This week, Frankfurt Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. This episode is being recorded, but if you have questions for any of our four mayors for the show, remember you can always email those in at any time to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. Welcome to the show, Mayor Sheets.
Hi, Emily. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm so glad to hear your voice. I know we had a few issues earlier, but we're happy to have a show to share with everybody today. Let's talk about budgets. There was some discussion this week around Frankfurt's to-be-approved city budget at this week's City Council and Board of Works meetings. I think it sounded like that's going to be headed for approval in October. First, just generally, how are all the budgets coming together, the conversation, how are things looking?
I think things are really looking great this year. We're looking forward to putting the budget together for 2022. We had the first reading on Monday night, and then, of course, we'll have the second and third reading in October. Our department heads have worked really hard to put together budgets that they felt would take care of their needs, not maybe all their wants, but their needs. They've met with the council, and I think that the budget hearings were very successful, and we have a great budget. I think it's going to be a well-balanced budget with the projected revenues, projected expenses. So I think we've done a great job, and I thank everyone for their hard work on it, because budgeting is not an easy thing to do.
Well, and I know that, again, that's, you know, your background is working on a lot of that. I know that, you know, there were a couple of mentions over the meetings of departments that maybe were asked to kind of cut their budget back a bit. If you want to talk about that, you know, kind of what were the asks? How much were people kind of asked to take a look at and kind of trim?
You know, most of them were just small cuts or just ways that we would combine different things, like our repairs maybe with tires and tubes. And maybe that together would have been 15, and they said, could you get by on 12? So they were just small, maybe a few thousand dollars. I know the fire department had asked for a new emergency vehicle, and they did go ahead and take that out of the budget. They felt like maybe that's something that could be put off for another year. So there were some budget cuts, but not that many.
I know a point that came up a couple of times as these discussions were happening was maybe the need to start looking down the road towards annexation, some of the financial considerations there, like fire department funding provisions, because, you know, they'll be providing service for that area in a couple of years. So what else are you kind of looking at financially kind of right now that the city, you know, does have to prepare for when it comes to annexation?
Right. We have to provide services there in 2025. It'll be April of 2025. So we do know that there could be the possibility of extra firefighters, police officers, even street department sanitation. So we're looking at that. We're thinking probably maybe 2023, 2024, so that we can have our personnel trained and ready to go. So we were thinking in 2022, maybe this isn't something that we need to look at right now, but for sure in the following years, we will have to look at that as well as equipment.
I know you also mentioned kind of in passing, you know, that tax revenue would come in after annexation. You know, can you kind of talk about how that plays into the financial picture, if not right now, you know, then going forward?
Right. We will not see the extra tax revenue from that until 2026. So, of course, that's going to be, excuse me, after the time that we need to have the new personnel there or maybe new equipment or whatever it is that we need. So that's kind of the hard thing. We're going to have to prepare for it before we actually get the additional tax revenue in.
Another topic that came up a little bit separately, but also kind of a conversation about a city budget item. Some budget questions, some budget issues with sanitation and recycling, you know, kind of essentially the idea that costs have gone up, but the revenue, hasn't necessarily gone along with it. The head of your streets department wants to raise current user fees for Frankfurt residents. It's currently at $12 a month. I know he mentioned that there were other areas with higher user fees. He suggested raising it a few dollars at a time. Do you think that will help kind of the long-term funding issues here, or are there other measures that could be taken to help the department?
Yes, absolutely. That will help that budget. A few years ago, that budget was in City General, and so there was tax levy on it. Currently, there is no tax levy set on that particular budget. So it is supposed to be self-sufficient, self-funding. So we are going to have to raise those rates a little bit. One thing is our dump fees have gone up drastically. We also provide health insurance for our employees at the street department through that. And so there's really no way around it if we're going to have it as a self-sustaining budget. So for 3 years, they would like to raise that $2 each year.
And I know that, you know, it was brought up that when this was raised before, because I want to say he said it was something like $7 at some point in the not too distant past. He didn't recall people being upset about that. Nobody remembered getting a lot of phone calls. But someone on the council mentioned that it is your job to kind of think of the residents of Frankfort and advocate for them. You know, do you think people, you know, will welcome, you know, those two extra dollars if it means that they can get trash pickup?
Well, I think it's always difficult when you make a change or when you have to increase a fee, but I hope that they realize that we have to do that so we can still provide the same service that we've been able to. If we do not raise that, we're going to have to look at other ways, you know, for trash pickup, which is something I would not want to look at right now. So let's hope that they understand that and know that the cost has gone up in many different areas. And so far I haven't heard anything after we've had first reading on it. We have a public hearing coming up on it at the next meeting. So that would be their opportunity to let us know their thoughts on it.
I know it was also mentioned that the department has cycled through some part-time employees over the past several months because it can be difficult to retain people with the money those positions make. And the suggestion was to turn those positions into full-time ones at $14 an hour with benefits. And are there other city departments that see that kind of turnover or which could benefit from, you know, turning a part-time employee into a full-time one?
I think probably our street department and parks department are the two departments that are most affected by that because it's hard to get people that want to work part-time and, like you said, for the wage that we're able to offer for that, and there are no benefits. So, you know, if people decide they want to go to full-time, it could be more pay, it could be benefits. And so, yes, it is hard to keep employees in those positions. So maybe at some point, if we raise this fee, we'll be able to put on full-time employees and be able to keep employees so we can still provide that service.
I know that we talked probably earlier in the summer, late spring, about bringing those people into those part-time positions kind of to begin with, and how, you know, city governments were kind of struggling with that across the board. I know I talked to multiple people who expressed that was an issue. Are you still seeing that as an issue, just kind of overall, even getting someone to take a part-time position?
Yes, we are. We are currently hiring at the Parks Department and the Street Department part-time employees, and we just have not gotten the applications that we had hoped to get. And unfortunately, then that makes a difference on the service, you know, that we can provide. We need those people to keep everything going. So I'm hoping that eventually things will change. I know everybody is hiring right now, so you do have a lot of competition out there. But hopefully we will get the right people in place.
What would you tell someone who wants to apply to one of these positions, why they should come and work for the city of Frankfort? What is the draw?
Of course, you know me. I've worked for the city for 43 years. So
you
I
are a walking
city.
Advertisement for it, yes.
I am. I love the city. It's a great place to work. I think also they need to look at the fact there's that possibility they could move up into a full-time position. And we offer good full-time wages. We offer great benefits to our employees. So I think sometimes you have to look, you know, beyond just the part-time work today. what's the future? You know, would you have a future with the city? And I would say we have a great, great place to work.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm Emily Seiberg. Thanks for joining us. Right now we're talking with Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets. So the city is also looking for someone to fill the community development director position. How long has that role been open?
It's been open around a month now. Annie Bacon moved out of state, mm-hmm. and so we had to, you know, advertise. We had to have interviews, and currently we have offered the position. We're just waiting to see if they have decided to take that position or not. But we did make changes, so I think, you know, we have to make sure that we have the right person for what we're expecting out of that position.
So I know, so this was what was kind of discussed. You looked at some of the responsibilities of that role, moved some of it around so that there's less of a focus on economic development, which was part of that position before. And now the emphasis is kind of back more on the marketing and public relations and social media. And so why was that economic development piece kind of taken out of there?
We took a lot of consideration before we made that change. Of course, we have the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce, Shan Sheridan. He's really great at economic development and working with the city and the county. Also, in our building services, we have a planning director. So we felt like between those different things that we have out there to offer, that we didn't necessarily need that person in this position to take care of economic development, although they will work with the chamber along with the building services department.
So some city council members were expressing some concerns, and you kind of echoed them about not wanting to lose the momentum. I know everyone kind of kept using that word, the momentum created by that role. You know, how has that position kind of helped the city in a concrete way promote what it's doing?
I feel like that position's so important to get the word out of what's going on in the community, to bring the community together. I want it to be an outreach, you know, and I think that is something that we really need in the social media side. And it's so hard for me with everything that's going on to make sure that all of that's going on. So I really appreciate somebody in that position that is able to reach out to our community and to have us all work together.
And we were talking about, you know, what people are being paid right now. There is a plan to, you know, reduce the salary of this position, which again kind of sounds like, you know, a reflection of taking out that economic development component of the job. You know, how did you think about just addressing concerns about attracting good candidates when you're kind of, you know, offering a lower salary, just given, again, the job market right now and how much it's been fluctuating?
Even though that wage was reduced, we still felt like we kept it at a level that we would still get good qualified people for that position. And we did. We have several good applications. It was a tough decision, but we feel like we've got the right person. Now, if we can get them to accept the position, we're good to go.
So what's their first job? What's their first task out of the gate? What do you want them to start promoting for the city?
You know, one of the things that I want them to work with, of course, is Prairie Creek Park is a big thing. But something that I really want them to focus on are the small businesses and the restaurants, the boutiques, those type things, to have a relationship with the small businesses in town. And along with our industrial park, I feel like that's something maybe we've lacked in, is having someone that's able to go out and reach out to them and let them know the city of Frankfort cares about them. We have the chamber, we have Main Street, but I wanted to come from the city of Frankfort, you know, to build a relationship.
So the Hispanic Heritage Festival is this weekend. I know that is something that your former community development person, Annie Bacon, worked hard on. This is now the second annual event. There was a year off last year. So what can you tell us about it?
Okay, it's so exciting. It's going to be this Saturday, September 18th, beginning at 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. There's going to be a lot going on. I heard we have 30 vendors that are going to be here. Also, we're going to have a dance demonstration. There's going to be cooking demonstrations, a band. There's just going to be so many things going on, and I'm excited for it. I think it's so important for our community and to bring us all together, you know, to show that this community cares about them, and I want them to know that they're so important to us.
So I know the one that happened before, again, kind of the first time that kind of iteration, you know, of that happened in Frankfurt. You know, is anything different this time? Is the same group of people kind of organizing it and planning it as did before?
Yes, and like you said, Annie was a part of it. Also, the Learning Network was a part of it. One thing that I've noticed, though, different this year is we have people from the Industrial Park along with businesses that are supporting this. They're sponsoring the event, and I'd love to see that happening. I'd love to see everybody in support of it, and I think that's something that I've noticed the most difference in.
So if we're talking about promoting something like this, and I'm trying to recall, I mean, there were hundreds of people at the first round of this. You know, are you expecting similar crowds this time? You know, how did the city work to get the word out about this event this time around?
Yes, they've worked really hard to get the word out, and I expect it to be a huge event. And something that's going to be different, too, is it's going to be at Prairie Creek Park this year. So I think that's going to be really good, and we're able to have so many different activities within that area. So I think that'll be really good. I know that Annie's worked hard to get it out, the information out, and along with the Learning Network. And so I think it's going to be a great event.
And because, you know, we're still kind of dealing with COVID-19 precautions and that right now, you know, again, I guess what are some of the differences or what are some of the plans around safety measures and things like that this weekend?
You know, we are not going to require masks or the social distancing, but I would encourage anyone that is most comfortable with a mask to wear a mask. We will be, you know, working with the sanitation to make sure everything's kept clean, having the sanitizer available. And I think that's, you know, what we're doing on our part. But I want people to come and to do what they're most comfortable with while they're here.
So speaking of Prairie Creek Park, at your Board of Works meeting this week, there was a discussion about an event taking place at the park. It sounded like maybe the organizers, you know, hadn't known all the steps and the approvals they needed to go through to get the event signed off on. And that kind of led to a conversation, which you and I have also had, where it sounds like there are maybe still discussions to be had about the best ways to use the park and how to set expectations for people and make it a park where everyone can go to, feel free to go to, but then also rent out for a specific event. So first, just to clarify, you know, what happened around this event that you were discussing this week and kind of what happened there?
Okay, this event will be the first time that there will be a charge to use Prairie Creek Park. And that's something that we knew might happen at some point, but I think we maybe weren't quite prepared for that. This will be our first one. They actually have rented the Farmers Bank stage and part of the park. And they want to charge a $10 admission fee. And we had never really dealt with that before. And so we went ahead and approved this event, but we said, we think we need to sit down and discuss this and get protocol going forward, you know, to see how exactly we're going to have this happen.
So are you getting feedback, I guess, from residents on the park and how the park is being used? You know, I know we talked about how popular the Parks and Rec phone line was, you know, the weekend after it opened or the week after it opened, because people were kind of realizing all the things they could do with the space. You know, how much have you learned, you know, over the past summer and what changes have you kind of had to make?
You know, I think that we're learning as we go, which I think that happens a lot. But the event center actually has been booked every weekend from now until the end of the year, which was pretty surprising to us. I'm not sure we were, you know, expecting all of that. But we have the event center. We have the beer garden. We have the Farmers Bank stage. So there's different areas that can be rented. So I think one thing we need to look at, do we want to rent all those spaces at the same time, or would they interfere with each other? So I think those are some of the things that we need to look at.
And I guess, too, you know, if you're just, you know, when you're thinking about a park, the philosophy behind a park, you know, if you're walking down the street in Frankfurt and you think, I just want to go to the park, I just want to wander over there, you know, trying to preserve some of that, you know, that it's a public space and anyone can just go there, and kind of weigh that against some of this other stuff, you know, this event that's happening or someone rents out a space for a wedding reception, you know, things like that. You know, again, how do you kind of make all of that work together so that it is a space for all of those things at the same time?
And as you said, that's, you know, that is a concern of ours because it is still a public park. And then you're trying to have a wedding back at the event center or having something going on at the beer garden. We have open mic night. And then you have people that are, you know, playing on the playground and in the splash pad. And we want them to be able to use those things. So that, I think that's something that we're trying to address, you know, exactly how we want that all to take place.
I mean, speaking of positions that could be filled within the city, you know, do you foresee that being something where you could hire someone or create a position, or I guess combine current roles within the Parks Department to have someone whose job it is just to kind of manage all of that?
We are looking next year at putting in the budget an event coordinator through the Parks Department. And I also think the position community development outreach would be a part of that. So I think I could see them working together because the Prairie Creek Park is a huge thing, you know, that we need to be looking at events and how we're going to use it and to promote it. And so I can see both of those positions working together on Prairie Creek Park.
So the city has put out a request for proposals for the Aquatic Center and the Police Department. So talk us through what happens next.
Okay, so Monday night at the Board of Works meeting, we approved for them to put out the RFPQs, and we want those back in, the bids back in to us, October 15th. And at that time, then we have a committee that we formed of 8 people that will meet and review these bids as they come in and make a decision who we want to use. So I think there's probably going to be about a month's time in there that we'll have the opportunity to look those over and to make a decision where we're going to go next. It's going to be an $18.5 million project between the two of them, but we would use the same person for that.
So I was going to ask, how do you feel about that amount kind of at the end of the day here?
You know, I'm comfortable with that. And part of the reason why we decided to go with this bot process is because the bids had come in so high.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not comfortable with the bids that came in for the police station along with the aquatic center. But the way that we're doing this now, this company will build it. It's called Build, Operate, Transfer. And they can stay within that budget. Once they bid on it, they promise to you and you sign a contract that says they will stay within that budget. So I think that's going to be really good for us.
So, and I know this has come up before, kind of earlier on in the process, but I guess how much have supply chain issues and construction costs kind of continued to impact the overall cost of this project?
You know, it really has had an impact on it. When we put the police station out the first time, we were hoping around $8 million. And, of course, bids came in way over that, $10, $11 million. And we were pretty disappointed in that. And being that we're a government entity, we were going to have to go back and rebid it. Going this process, we will not have to do that because that will be done by the company that takes care of it. Along with the Aquatic Center, the bids were higher than we expected or were going to be able to afford. So, you know, I want us to do our due diligence to make sure that we're checking out to get the best product for the cost.
And I know that, I guess, where did the dust kind of settle with the Aquatic Center, if that's the right way of putting it for an Aquatic Center? I know that there were changes that were discussed. The lap pool, I'm sorry, will be different, you know, different.
Yes.
Things like that, things that could be taken out, you know. Where did some of that kind of end up? You know, what were the final words on that?
Well, we are bidding that out as a base, and then also we'll have alternates. So if we're able to afford different things, we will have a list of alternates that we could do if we're able to do that. So we no final decisions have been made on those things.
Okay. And does that...
But like the lap pool will be an alternate, yes.
Okay. And then I know something that we talked about was there was kind of a more elaborate concession area, and that kind of got trimmed down. I think I'm assuming that's kind of still the case.
Yes, it will stay. We did cut back on that, and it will stay that way. The other things were things within the aquatic center itself. Maybe like the buckets, the water buckets, or a slide, or like you said, the lap pool. But yes, we went ahead and cut back the concessions.
So there's still ongoing road construction throughout and around Frankfort.
Yes.
There's a lot of road construction throughout Indiana right now, as you will learn if you drive for 5 minutes, I feel, in any direction. There's a lot of road construction out there. So it looks like, though, and we've talked about this before, semi-truck drivers are still coming through town instead of following detour signage and getting stuck. People were talking about this on social media. We've talked about this before. Is this still a big issue?
It is. I mean, I think it was last night that I saw again on social media, another truck had, fallen down into the lower side of the street where they're doing construction. And I don't know whether, people say that the signage isn't good, but I think we have a lot of signage up. The NDOT has done very well with that. And I just think that they think they can do it, even though they know that it says not to do it.
So what?
Yes,
what,
it has been a problem.
So what? So the semi gets stuck, and we've talked about this too. But I mean, essentially, is the next thing that kind of has to happen is that your police officers have to go and kind of help maneuver it out of the way. What then happens?
Right. Or if they can't get it, then they have to call, maybe a wrecker service or somebody else to help them get out. So it ties up traffic.
Right.
It causes a traffic jam. So I think that's the biggest concern, is it just ties up traffic. People can't get through. And I mean, so far it's nothing been anything where people have been injured or anything, thank goodness. But,
So,
we still don't like the idea of having that.
Well, so what else, to the extent that you've thought about it, I mean, what can the city do to fix this problem? I mean, I think you've put up, barricades. I know you did at least at some point and said that the trucks were still just kind of driving right up to them and then in some cases through them.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to anyone on the state level about this? What are you thinking?
Jason Forsythe, our street superintendent, has been in close contact with the state, throughout this whole project. But it is a state project, so it is up to them, as to how they handle this, the detours that they make, the signage, that type thing. But Jason has definitely kept up with them. And I do think it's gotten better over time, but we're still having those situations.
So speaking of road construction, can you give us an update on the Washington Avenue project?
Yes, they're moving right along, and we're going to be there soon.
Okay, that's our time for today. Mayor Sheets, thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.